Welcome to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to e-commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 010, number 10, Chris Bond, or Bond, Chris Bond, as he likes to say. I think this is one of the cooler segments that I've done because, you know, I just imagine this tall guy, long blonde hair, a little ponytail, riding in this big Escalade with big trailer jacked up, cruising down the road as I like to see the Bob Seger turn the page cranked up, just going, and you could see the sun setting. And, you know, that's the way I envision Chris's life as he heads out from rural Nebraska, sometimes up to 700 miles to buy in different communities. What's cool in this segment is Chris walks you through his steps. He talks about, you know, couch surfing. He talks about camping. He talks about following his family, then pulling the truck over, parking it, and spending the day with them, and how he can just do that as he chooses. I just think that that lifestyle business is really what you really should be striving for. Money's great, but lifestyle's a lot better. And it's not just a business lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. It's your overall lifestyle. It's the health of your family and friends. And it's just such a cool thing. Couch surfing to see people he hasn't seen in years, and he gets to hang out with them while cutting back on costs. I just think it's a great, great interview with a great guy. And it just really, I get jazzed thinking about it. So let's get into the podcast. All right, welcome back to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast, and really excited tonight to be talking to a gentleman who really has taken rural area traveltage to, I think, a new level. He's really taken it and made it a science. Well, welcome tonight to Chris Bond. Welcome, Chris.
Hello. How are you doing, Stephen?
I am so, so well. I really am. And, you know, in all honesty, this is a do-over for Chris and I because my recording didn't work last time we did this. So now the questions are just going to be that much better, Chris. That's really what it takes.
That was all practice.
This is practice, yeah. So we are going to spend some time talking about Traveltage because I still think that you know, one of the excuses that I hear from people, oh, I don't know where to buy. Oh, I don't have places close to me and blah, 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 blah. Well, you're in the middle of nowhere. So we're going to get to that in a minute. But let's just get back and let people know who you are and a little bit about yourself and your family.
Okay. Name's Chris Bond. I've been selling online since 2003. Started out on eBay. Started out going to auctions, buying dollar boxes, sifting through the junk, finding the little treasures, moved up to thrift stores, garage sales, and then found a little niche in books, sold books for a decade, helped out on a brick and mortar bookstore and a gaming store. Lady had passed away and this bookstore was just not doing anything, and I stepped in and revived it, and we ran it for 5 years, and I decided it was time to step away from there, and that's about the time I stepped into full-time, 2011, and got into doing FBA, and then from doing FBA, I've been full-time since 2011. I've been weaning myself off of books as much as I love them, and love the margins that are in there. It's all onesies and twosies, which is real time consuming in comparison to taking 50 or 100 of the same product and sending that in.
And I agree with you. So you will go that deep, 50 or 100 items. That doesn't scare you in the least.
No, and it all depends on what the product is and what the price is and what the going rate is. I mean, you look at all the variables, and sure, if you're getting it at a good enough cost, then absolutely. I've gone as far as I bought the same unit, oh, I want to say 500 plus a couple times, and sold through them. It was a discontinued item that I just had located, and yeah, it was a hot item.
was it all from the same location, or did you, or is it the same store?
No, actually, that particular item, that was something from Menards, and where I initially found it. But then I found a supplier on Amazon. I bought his stock up, and then I found the same supplier on Sears.com, and turned out this was a liquidation company, and they contacted me and said, hey, we've got hundreds of these sitting around. How many do you want? And so I bought them at $10, and I was selling them at $95 when it was all said and done.
I'll take them all. I'll take them all. That's great. So, you know, one of the things that really interests me about your the way you do business, you're in the middle of Nebraska, right?
Yep. Yeah, I'm here you go. There's a housing development down the street from me called 1733 Estates, and it's 1733 miles from San Francisco and 1733 miles from Boston.
So there, just everybody pause and picture that in your mind and know that there's nothing else out there, right? So you're the perfect example of somebody who could sit back and say, well, you know, this business really isn't for me because I can't buy anything. I can't find anything. Is that real?
Well, I mean, if I wasn't willing to go that extra mile, then sure. You know, especially if there was somebody else in my town at the same caliber as where I'm at, I mean, we'd be stepping on each other's toes all the time and suffocating each other out. And I mean, you'd either get choked out or have to find new territory. And so that's what I've been able to do. I've spotted a couple other small-time people at garage sales or even scanning in the stores and gone up and talked with them. And I don't really consider them my competition because of their level. You know, not that they're not in there buying the same products, but not at all the same quantities or as wide as what I buy.
You know, it's taken you – you said that you've been doing this since 2011 full-time. That's impressive because – clearly, you have figured something out. But how did you get, you know, let's go back a little bit. And how did you even get started in this business? You know, and then how did you get to figure out that this approach that you're at now is the right approach for you?
So the first part of the question, you know, how did I get to doing something like this? My previous employment, I was doing direct sales, and we took a company from a brand spanking new company in the chain and brought it up to the number one company in the country, distributorship. And I found myself working 70, 80 hour weeks, and I was on commission base. And so some weeks it was a great week, and other weeks it was like making 12, 14 bucks an hour at the end of the week. And so after doing this for a while, I just got sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know, I had two children at the time, and they're growing up, and they were growing up without me. And my wife was like, we got to do something else. You're not even getting to see your kids grow up. And so I ended up quitting that position and, pretty much just erased the slate. I had some debt that I was carrying with me, and moved up to central Nebraska. We're close to my wife's parents. And when we got up, I knew that, you know, I'm never going to get rich working a 40-hour work week, working for somebody else. I needed to find that change and start laying bricks and building a good solid foundation. And that's where I didn't have any capital to start out with, so I started going to the auctions. That was a simple solution for me.
You know, but
from there, go ahead.
Well, it just gets to me that you had the guts to pull back and say, you know what, I don't like this direction that I'm going in. You know, it sounds like you were making quite a bit of money in this other job, but you knew that there wasn't a future, or eventually it would burn you out, or, you know, you lose a marriage over, you know, and your kids would grow up without you. I just think it's very impressive to be able to make that decision. As a man, it's a very uncomfortable decision to make, right? Because, you're on top of your game there for a bit. And to be able to pull back and say, you know what, this isn't it. And I applaud you for that, because I just think a lot of people are, chasing something because they probably were told to, or they got to go for money. Everything's about money. And it doesn't sound like you have that relationship with your wife and that. That's really impressive.
Yeah, I mean, money's definitely something I chase. I've got four mouths to feed, or four children to feed, and my wife. So, that's definitely on my mind. But, yeah, I mean, I'm in a corporate ladder and showing up for a job 5 days a week, 6 days a week, 7 days a week. At this point in my life, I mean, I wake up and if I don't want to do anything for the day, for listing or FBA, I can step away from it, and there's still momentum behind it, and I'm still generating an income from energy that I put into it previously.
Do you know? So you're at a level, and you talked about that momentum, because that's something that jumped in my mind when I was listening to you. How long did it take you to build to the level that you're at now? I mean, for 4 years, you haven't been at this level all 4 years, have you?
No. And, I had a real solid foundation with books. When I started my transition from being a book dealer, which I went immediately into sending those items into FBA, when I went from doing that to doing more retail arbitrage, I was still making, call it $100-$200 of profit a day from books that I bought at book sales, garage sales, thrift stores. I've still got hundreds of books that I need to sift through and make my decisions of, does this go into Amazon or pitch it to the side and sell it secondhand or just scrap it. So yeah, I had a decent foundation, and when I went from, not working for anybody else, like the way I don't work for anybody else now is I just tell them they can't afford me, and they're like, no, really? Well, how much do you charge? And I'm like, I mean, $100 an hour. And they're like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. And so nobody will hire me anymore, which is great. I don't want to do their work anyhow. The 2011 to call it 2012 and a half, it was definitely a leap of faith. I mean, taking my inventory from packaging it and shipping it to my customers myself, and here I'm sending in hundreds of books into Amazon, keeping my fingers crossed that they're not going to mess them up. And I mean, it was definitely a leap of faith. I don't know if I finished answering the question there, Stephen.
No, I think you did, and I think you did. And so do you still – are some of those books still selling for you?
Yeah, they trickle out. And books are more of a long-term hold for in my mind. I mean, there's definitely the quick flip books that, when I'm scanning through them at a book – so I know that, I probably won't have this book on the shelf for 2 or 3 weeks. It's going to be gone pretty quick when it hits the warehouse. But at the same time, when I'm paying 50 cents, $1 or $2 for a book, and it's getting listed for $20 to $50 to $100, I'm okay with it sitting around for a little bit. Storage fees don't bother me on books. It's not like I have multiple SKUs of them and I have to worry about long-term storage fees.
I think that's a smart piece of advice right there, right? So what the goal of the podcast is to help people move forward. So that foundational approach that you're speaking of, books are really a great way to build a long-term foundation. I agree with you. I mean, my books have been selling for years, and I just think that's such a smart, they're so inexpensive to get, they're really easy to find, and they are long-term hold. And like you said, since you only have one in there, you're really not getting charged that long-term fee. I just think that's a really good, smart piece of advice. Great way to build a long-term future in this business. And then when you have that base, it's really easy to grow to that next level. That's a great piece of advice. So, you've gotten to this place now especially you're traveling. And I'm really interested for people to hear about what an average travel trip really breaks down to. So I know we've discussed this in the past a couple times. You've and I gotten together. And so I'm really interested, though. Let's just take a particular product. We'll call it a widget. And you know that this widget and 10 other widgets are really decent sellers. How far are you willing to travel for those 10 widgets?
So, you know, along with those 10 and all the others that I get to pick up, there's so many other stores along the way that, I mean, you can't help but find other products out there. You know, you just have to have your boots on the ground and get in there and find the stuff. But, you know, I've gone as far as maybe miles chasing one particular product and then hitting all
the other
stores.
I think you cut out there. Say that again.
Okay, so I've gone as far as 700 miles chasing one product.
700? Are you kidding me?
And then, wow. You know, I get all the other spoils along the way.
So this is a five-day trip, right? I think your regular trips are 3 to 5 days.
Yeah, as far like I'm getting ready to go out to Colorado this at the end of this week, and I think I'll probably be out there. I don't know for sure. 5 to 7 days. We're going out with the entire family's coming out. We have a children's camp out up in the Rockies, and it's a summer camp style. And so while taking the family out there, I'll drive a second vehicle with my trailer and be sourcing the entire time.
Now, are the stores planned right now?
For a route like this from here to Colorado, I'm going to hit the exact same stores that I always hit. There's only a select few in any given town. I mean, like I'll have a farm and tractor store every 50 miles, and there's one, two, three Walmarts west of me by the time and until I hit Colorado. No, four. And, you know, so I'll hit each of these towns only has two or three places for me to really stop in and buy anything. And then when I get into civilization, you know, call it Greeley, Fort Collins, Loveland, Denver. Then it's just like, you know, waking up in a big city and, you know, I'm going to go hit the northwest side of town or the southeast side of town.
Do you know what you're going to buy? So you're going to Farm and Tractor. You have an idea of what you're going to buy, or are you going in and scanning?
I go in and scan.
Okay.
And then once I've, like, you know, when you're talking about how far am I willing to chase something, when I get on the trail of something, then it's just a matter I'm running in and picking stuff up. And I still scan the other stuff around, and that's pretty cool that what happens is it all starts compounding as I'm going. I keep finding more and more of the same items at the same prices that are, you know, great sales rank and good return. And so the next time I go into the same type of store, I might be adding one or two more items to the, you know, just go grab it. We don't have to scan it.
I'd probably be running into that next store. I mean, I just know how that feeling is, and I just think that I'd probably be running as fast as I could.
It's a long day, and running's about the last thing that I want to do. I'm looking at the scooter at the end of the night.
Yeah, that'd be neat to have. So you're bringing them back to your vehicle. Are you doing any kind of sorting in the vehicle at that point?
No.
You know, to make it? No? So you're just putting them in wherever you can fit?
Well, so in my trailer, the way I pack it is I take the large Home Depot boxes and I go ahead and preassemble about 18 of them before I leave town. And when we're filling the boxes up, we try to get like things next to like things, but we just know that it's not going to happen. So we just play some Tetris and fill a box up where it's mostly full. It's not cramming stuff. I'm not trying to damage any of the items. Put the big square stuff on the bottom. And then when it gets to the full level, I just throw a short piece of tape on it, lock it down, and we start assembling more boxes and just start stacking right on top of that.
And so, and you're bringing a helper with you, right, when you're doing this generally?
Yeah, most time when I'm out for a few days, then, yeah, I'm going out with at least one other person.
Is that person buying alongside of you, or are they running stuff and just you're giving them saying, hey, go find this and find this and find this, or are they scanning too?
He has a scanner, and so yeah, he's helping out scan, and typically, like, when we get to the register, like, this is something I was thinking about the other day, like, what's my position at the register, you know, what's your position? Mine's to watch and make sure that all the prices ring up right, and you know, so like I snag, if I clear a shelf of something clearance, then I'm grabbing the tag when I clear it off. And then if it doesn't ring up right, I hand them the tag and say, here it is. And so while I'm watching that, my helper's putting everything on the conveyor. And then when everything's been rang up, I'm paying and he's already out the door with the one or five carts he's pushing out. And by the time I've paid and get out to the trailer, in most cases, one or two carts are already loaded up in the trailer. So by the time I get out, it's just get in the driver's seat and start driving again, which makes it makes it great.
Yeah, that's a great trip. Great tip. A couple great tips in there. First off, clearing the shelf, take the tag with you, right? That's common sense because it's a clearance item. It's not like they're going to replenish it, right? So that's a great move, great non-rookie move, right, for anybody who's new.
And the other thing about that, just sorry to cut in, but the other thing about that is if it rings up wrong, then the manager or the customer service rep or whomever it may be is like, we'll just send somebody back there and check the price. And it's like, well, you're going to have a hard time finding it because I cleared the shelf off.
Right. Right. And that just, that's happened so many times. I can't, well, you know, it's happened. It's happened to me. And so it just makes perfect sense to do that. So then the next thing is to have that split up a responsibility. One person, you know, handling, putting things on, you're making sure you're pricing right. In the meantime, they're on the other side now, bagging, carton, ready to go. And I just think that makes sense how you're able to do. How many stores will you hit in a given day?
On the, like when I'm inside of a city, probably maybe 15 to 20, I would say. I mean, it all depends on how close they are, for one. But, you know, say I'm in Kansas City or Denver or something. You know, a typical store, especially if we're picking a fair amount of stuff, is going to take us about an hour to go through and check out.
Okay, so an hour to go through, check out per store, and then you have to drive to the next one. Do you use any software to map out the stores in advance, or you just know the route now that you've been doing it so many times?
Yeah, I know the route for, you know, but even if I get in a fresh city that I don't know, I typically just ask my iPhone, you know, find Walmart, and, you know, I'll zoom out and see the grid of the Walmarts around, and I'm going to Walmarts and I'm not finding anything, you know, three Walmarts in a row, then I'm going to just shift my direction. And like what I like to do is find Kohl's. And then when I find Kohl's, you know, you got an office store right there. You've got Targets in a general vicinity most times, TJ Maxx, Marshall's, Ross. You know, you got a big cluster when you find a certain store like Kohl's, because that's their business model of being in that type of strip mall.
So in a given day, you might not only – I mean, I guess if you're on a hot product, you would stay in Walmarts. But you might do a Walmart, Target, Kohl's, Office Max, TJ Maxx, all those in a given day. Or do you – if you're in an area, do you hit all the Walmarts first and then you hit all the Targets? Then you hit – how does it generally work?
Well, so, yeah, you know, if I'm dropping in a big city and I'm familiar with all of it, if I'm primarily hitting Walmarts – but I'm driving by a Target, you bet I'm going to pull in that Target. If I hit three Targets and I don't pull anything out that's really, you know, nothing shocking in it, then the next Target that I see, I'll go ahead and skip.
Do you have it's something else that comes to mind is that, you know, you got a guy you're paying for plus yourself and you got costs on the road, right? So there's, you're on the hook already. Do you have a goal in mind when you go in? I mean, is it a success if you spent, you know, $1,000, $2,000? I mean, assuming your margins are roughly the same, you know, I mean, I know that's all dreamy, but, you know, is there a target that you have for each store?
No, and if there was, I'd be disappointed a lot of times because I'm not afraid to walk out empty-handed.
Okay, that's a good piece of advice. So don't feel like you have to buy something, as even, you know, because everybody goes through that slump, or a store might just not might have anything, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, if I got one or two items and that's all I really found in a store, and heck, a lot of times I'm go ahead and just set those to the side and exit the store. Like, I'm not, it's not worth me walking out, checkout for just a couple of items.
So now you bought on your way out, right? So you're buying on your way out to, would you say you're going Colorado, Denver?
Yeah, we're going to go up into the Rockies, but yeah.
Okay, in the Rockies. So you're buying on the way out. Are you going to be shipping while you're out there?
You know, when I take my trailer, like in this case, my helper's not going with me. I'll be trailing my wife. And so I have enough room in the trailer that I doubt I'll run out of room between being with the family and sourcing.
Okay. All right. But in normal circumstances, when you're going with your helper, you're going 300 miles, 350 miles, and you're couch surfing or hoteling, correct?
Right. Yeah. And camping as well.
Okay, that's right. You're camping too. And so you'll literally ship from the road where it makes sense. The other piece of advice I remember you giving, and I thought it was very sound advice, is that there are certain items. Let's just say you're buying plush a given day, right? You know that just whatever reason it's hot. You're not shipping that from the road because that would involve bagging and other special circumstance. You'll put that and leave that on the truck and do the easy things for the road. And I just think that that's such a sound piece of advice that people don't think about. They're like, oh, I got to get everything out. No, you don't.
Right. And it all depends on your space and, you know, what kind of supplies do you have? You know, when I take my trailer out with me, I can carry every bit of supply that I could possibly need. You know, it's a great resource to have. Whereas if I'm going out in my van, then yeah, I'm going to, given the space that I have in it and how it also depends on how much I'm getting. You know, if I go to the third store and boom, my van's filled up, I'm going to do whatever it takes in order to, you know, I'll pull over, get a hotel, or, you know, I can do this stuff in the UPS parking lot. I mean, it's really that easy. And it's really what are you willing to get rid of this? You know, I saw Chris Green do his little travel van sourcing recently, and, you know, he's talking about being on the road, listing while you're running down the road. And it's really not that feasible. I mean, you can do that, but just for simplicity, you know, pull over, get a room, relax for the rest of the day. I mean, make sure you get the hot tub and the pool and rip through your shipment and package that stuff all up and drop it off either that night or first thing in the morning and be ready to go again.
And I think that what you're just saying there is really important. So now you do some camping, right, because you enjoy that. And you do you're talking about taking advantage of the areas that you're in. Are you sightseeing too? Like on this trip, you're going with the family. Are you going to take advantage of and do stuff with the kids and really make it a family trip?
Yeah. You know, at some point in this trip, I'll pull over and park my vehicle and jump in and be in the van with everybody else and, you know, leave my vehicle a day or two in a safe, secure place, and then, yeah, spend time with the family. That's what we're going out there for. And then on the way back, it might be something where, like, you know, we might hit a zoo or a museum in the area or, you know, whatever the attraction might be. And so we'll try to do one of those larger attractions, and then it's time for me to split off and clock back in and go back to work. And so I'll say my goodbyes to the family and we'll part ways, and they'll go ahead, they'll beat me home, and it might be another day or three before I make it home because I'm still out there working.
But that's truly a lifestyle business. You've designed a business around your lifestyle.
Sure, absolutely.
Not many people can say they've done that. So I had to manually cut into this podcast to tell you that we're going to take a break. I got so jazzed talking with Chris and get so pumped thinking about, you know, that lifestyle that I just completely forgot. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Thanks. Today's podcast is brought to you by Seller Essentials, essential business solution for online sellers. Whether you sell general merchandise on Amazon or eBay, private label your own product, or if your focus is selling books, wholesale products, or liquidation lots, let Seller Essentials be your online resource for all things e-commerce. Essential resources, essential solutions, Seller Essentials, the Internet's premier venue for online professional. Visit SellerEssentials.com for more information. That's SellerEssentials.com. All right, so before we jump in the last part of the podcast, you know, I want you to make sure that you pay attention here because Chris is a pretty smart dude. He has figured out some things that I just think make a lot of sense. He's operating on two or three sides of this business, and I think that that's a really important thing to think about, that, you know, there are some worries about things getting turned off or your account getting closed or a channel like 11 Main, right? 11 Main was started with a lot of hoopla, and it's already gone. Somebody else bought it. I don't know what's going to happen to it. Now Jet launched a couple days ago. We'll see where that goes. But, you know, those things happen. Your business can change tomorrow. So having multiple sources of income is a smart move. And this whole segment, Chris is going to talk about several that he's involved in and several groups that he's helped form and how he's able to make a go of it. So I think this is going to be great information for you. Let's get back into the podcast. You know, now I'm going to transition into, you've gotten into the information business in a couple different ways. One, a Kmart group that you're in charge of. Two, you're a sourcer and an owner of The List. And three, Online Selling Academy. Let's talk about each one individually.
Okay.
Kmart. Let's talk Kmart first. Tell me about what that is.
All right. So I run a Facebook group. It's Kmart and Sears. We focus on the sales, clearance items, the Shop Your Way program. I also focus a lot on fast rewards. And, you know, I've got really good at the Shop Your Way program just from doing retail arbitrage and online arbitrage. And so I'd come across a program, and it's like your own shopping assistant. And so people add me as their personal shopper, and they get access to this group. And I try to keep people up to date on sales and promotions, how to use coupons, how many points that you can use and roll over during a transaction to reduce your out-of-pocket, the gas rewards. I've been working the gas rewards. September will be 2 years, and since October, I've been able to keep my vehicle full, both my van and my Escalade, and then my wife's, and then we keep my in-law's car full as well, and then there's still gas to go around every month. You know, it's pretty neat. It's eliminated my fuel expense.
And I don't think people understand this, right? In my opinion on this business, you know, is that the margin, you know, you could buy at a certain place and you're going to get to a certain margin. What eats into the net margin are those, you know, you're traveling 700 miles. I mean, and you're driving an Escalade pulling a trailer that gets heavier as it goes along, so your gas mileage can't be very impressive. When you can take and eliminate or greatly reduce those expenses, that's how you take and really squeeze a margin. Everybody's like, oh, how can they do it? I can't do it. Well, because you're not looking at it from both angles. You do have to make money on the purchase, and you do need to make money. But you also have to remember you're going to have this overhead. And if you can get that overhead as low as possible, you will have really great success. And I think it sounds like you've done a great job with that.
Exactly. And, you know, it's all those expenses when you're traveling around. I mean, there's hotel fees. That's why I like to do couch surfing. I run a Couch Surfing Coalition for Resellers group on Facebook. And it's just something, if people are running around the country, they can we can use it in order to meet up. We can, you know, have lunch, source with each other, or possibly find a place to stay. And if you can't, you know, necessarily offer a place to stay, maybe you know the right hotels or the campgrounds or, you know, the local places that you could turn other people onto. And so I've got old friends that I've been able to hook up with. I've also, there's a lot of my family along the routes that I travel. And so, yeah, I mean, I call it couch surfing. Most of the time I get a bed, and it's real nice. And I'll process my inventory while I'm there at that whatever place that is.
That's great. You have automatic helpers. And in the last thing on the Kmart group, I'm a member, and the notifications of great deals are amazing. I mean, I'm probably getting 20 or 30 a day, it seems like, forever. Just, hey, these tools are down to this price. I mean, it just seems to be so much information you're pumping out to the members.
Yeah, you know, I try, and it's one of those things where I try to offer, you know, free information, and hopefully something positive comes out of all of it.
Yeah, that's great. So you're also, not that you don't have enough to do, you are one of the founders of The List, right, which is a group that has 100 clients that you personally source and give out leads, correct?
Correct. Yeah. Curtis Batdorf invited me in at middle of December. He When they got a hold of me and asked me if I was interested in being a part of something, I mean, I had no idea, you know, what the phone call was going to entail. And when I was told what we were going to be doing, we're going to be sourcing product for, you know, 100 other resellers. I mean, one, it was going to be a big challenge for us. You know, I mean, can we do this? And it's not that I didn't think we couldn't do it, but, you know, it really made me think about upping my game and you know, what we're going to offer to our clients. So the beginning of January, we launched the group, The List. And like Steven said, it's 100 member cap. We tell you we're going to put out 50 IOs a week, and you know, that'd be nice if that was true, but in reality, we're putting out anywhere from 70 to 80 IOs. IO is an inventory opportunity, and these are both in-store and online. They're available at major retailers. It's not something that's a regional type of item. Our margins that we have, we have the criteria for a posting is a minimum of $5 return and a 40%, $5 profit and a 40% return. And most all of our IOs that we've put out are in the top 1% of any given category. We deal with gated categories. It's just been a phenomenal experience for all of us.
I've heard the phrase authentic because you guys guarantee that these leads are coming from you. You're not outsourcing them. These aren't VAs in the Philippines or somewhere else. These are you. You're finding your portion. David's finding his. Randy's finding his. And Curtis is finding his, correct?
Exactly. And when one of those is posted, it's posted by us, so you know exactly who found it. And yeah, if there is anything, you know, more details or why'd you choose this? We have a support group that we can discuss certain inventory opportunities in.
Right. And so that people can call you out and say, hey, you know, Chris, you said this was going to happen. This wasn't there, or I didn't find it at that because this is what they're doing, right?
Exactly.
That's cool. And so that's now led into this newest, again, busiest guy. When you want to get something done, give it to a busy guy, right? You guys now have this group called Online Sellers Academy. Give me a brief description of what that is.
So the Online Sellers Academy, you know, we looked at what we want to do. I mean, you've got five veteran sellers together, and we have a wealth of knowledge between all of us. And how is it that we can give back to the community? You know, I mean, I've read my fair share of forums and discussion boards and questions and answers and other Facebook groups and listen to the podcast and the Spreecast and old FBA radio and you know, all these places that we were able to gain this information from in the past, at this point of our lives, we decided that it's time for us to give back to the community. And so we've got a group. It's we just reached over 1,000 members yesterday or the day before. And it's a community where, I mean, you're welcome to come in. You can ask questions. You can comment on different topics that are going around. You can sit back and just read everything. I mean, there's no participation required to be in the group. So it's a Facebook group, and everybody's welcome to come join us.
All right. That's great. And I'm going to get the links from you. We're going to include all the links. So one of the things I'd like to ask you just a couple more questions about would be, you know, you've done, you know, obviously you're articulate in what you do. You know a lot of what's going on. Where do you get, you know, where do you get inspiration from? What are you reading anything that's out there? Are there anybody that inspires you, that gets you to start thinking differently, that you can offer?
So I've really cut down my reading over the last few years, which I would like to do more. I do listen to a fair amount of audio, and I watch YouTube and other video style information set. From my foundation, Robert Kiyosaki, he's Rich Dad, Poor Dad. He probably gave me some of my root, to start me out. You know, opportunity is just everywhere, and it doesn't matter what you do. I mean, if I showed up at your place and you're like, man, I got this great idea, and I, you know, whatever your market is that you're doing, you know, say you're doing senior care stay. I mean, I could, it just starts stimulating my thought pattern, and I get excited about whatever it is that you're doing, and I can offer, you know, whatever my creative side is. I mean, I just see the opportunities that are at hand, and I'll ask questions and get excited for whatever it is that you're doing. And I mean, once again, it's opportunity. It's just all around us. It doesn't matter if we're selling Schwinn bicycles and just, I mean, buying and flipping Schwinns or Xboxes, or, you know, you're a construction worker and trying to find work, whatever it is that you're doing. It's really just all around you, and all you have to do is take the initiative and be willing to do what your competition isn't. I mean, let's face it, a lot of times our competition can be very lazy, and that's a huge benefit to us.
Do what your competition is. Great. You ever read the book Acres of Diamonds? Acres of Diamonds basically shows you're 3 inches or 3 feet from the gold vein, and you give up and you chase something else.
Sure.
And it talks about right where you are. The opportunity really does exist right where you are. You just have to be willing to work at it. I think that's great advice. All right, Chris, how could people get in touch with you or find out more information about you?
So Facebook's probably one of the easier ways. Bond, Chris Bond is my Facebook ID. You know, happy to become friends with you. Shoot me a message if you have questions about stuff. Inside of Online Sellers Academy is another great place. If you're interested in the Kmart and Sears group, you do have to become a client in order to get in the private group. It's free. There's tons of benefits that are available with it. The list, if you wanted to become a client of the list, I mean, once again, there's a support group that we can communicate through. The Facebook's pretty much it. It's pretty amazing how it's starting to encompass more of my life than what I ever thought it would have.
Me too. I went kicking and dragging in. I will have all the links on how to get in touch with Chris. And I just think that, you know, I think he's a great example of somebody who's willing to do the work, right? So the opportunity is not there in downtown Nebraska, right? It's just not there. So you've got to be willing to travel. And I just think that that's such a great example. And the way you've been able to build a lifestyle around it, I just think more people should take that leap and take that leap of faith. Chris, thanks for taking the time out tonight.
Absolutely,
really appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.